Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Father in heaven, we seek thy face in prayer, thankful for the knowledge that your ear is always open to the cry of your people. We come, Father, to seek thee, to confess our need. We're conscious of our weakness and our emptiness. We need your blessing. We need your power. You've told us that we have not because we ask not. You've said that you'll give the Holy Spirit to them that ask thee. And Father, we want to pray for your Spirit to rest upon this service and upon this broadcast. We want especially for the Spirit of God to rest mightily upon the preaching of thy word. We remember your servant today, especially the Reverend Henderson, as he will come in just a short time to bring the word of God to our hearts. We pray that he would know your presence. We pray, Father, that you'd stand with him. We remember the Apostle Paul said that the Lord stood with him and strengthened him so that by him the preaching might be fully known. We want to pray that you'll stand with your servant today, settle his heart and mind. We pray that you'll give him great utterance. We pray that he'll be an instrument in your hand. We want to pray, Father, that you'd make him a channel of blessing. We cry that he might be the Lord's messenger. We want to pray, Father, that you'd use him and speak through him, even to all of our hearts. And Lord, we cry that your very clear and singular blessing will rest upon the preaching of your word today. You've said it pleaseth thee by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And we're asking, Father, especially through the message that will be brought, that you will bless it and use it and honour it and put your seal upon it to the saving of precious souls. So, Father, hear and answer these, our prayers and our cries, as we offer them to thee today, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning in the Scriptures to read some verses in John's Gospel, chapter 3. It's the first 7 verses, and then reading verses 16 and 17. So John chapter 3 at the verse 1, and let us hear the word of God to our hearts today. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his blessing to this reading of his word. We're going to sing another hymn together. It is the gospel hymn, God Loved the World of Sinners Lost.
It's lovely to be with you today, and I would like to thank the Reverend McMillan for leading the service thus far. And I would ask you all to turn with me, please, to the Word of God, to John's Gospel, chapter 3, and the verse 16. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and the verse 16. This is probably the most famous and most well-known verse in the whole of the Bible. For there we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, as I read that verse, I'm reminded of a story, a true story. There was a father, his son, and the son's friend, and the three of them decided to go on a fishing trip on a beautiful sunny day. So the three of them gathered together all of their fishing equipment, everything that they needed, and they loaded up the boat. And they began sailing away just off the Pacific coast. Now, very suddenly, a fast approaching storm blocked any way of getting back to the shore, any attempt to get back to the shore. And as the storm came closer, they noticed that the waves began to get higher and higher, and the rain got heavier and heavier, and they were beginning to struggle as the storm got worse and worse and stronger and stronger. And even though the father was an experienced sailor, still he could do nothing to keep the boat upright as the storm came. And eventually, in the midst of the storm, the boat completely capsized and all three were cast out into the ocean. Now, the father somehow managed to swim back to the boat, managed to get it back upright, and grabbing the rescue line, the father looked up and he saw the most excruciating decision of his life presented before him. Because as the father picked up the lifeline, he noticed that there was his son, and then there was the son's friend. But the father realized in that moment that his son was a Christian. His son knew the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, but he also knew that the son's friend wasn't right with God. And in that split second, just a few seconds to make that decision, the father looked up and he cried out, "I love you, son," and he threw the lifeline to his son's friend. In that moment, the friend grabbed a hold of the lifeline. The father pulled him in as quickly as he could, got him into the boat, picked up the lifeline again, and he looked out. Then suddenly he realized his son was gone. He was swept under the waves and his body was never recovered. Now you may ask, why would I begin with a story like that? Well, very simply, because I believe it gives us an insight into what we read in this text. Here we read something of God the Father sacrificing his only son in order to save his son's friends. We read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, beloved, the father in the story knew that his son would step into eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he couldn't bear the thought for a moment of thinking how the son's friend would step into eternity without Christ. And oh, how great is the love of God that he should do the same for us. Our heavenly Father sacrificed his only Son so that we could be saved. And I urge you in this meeting today, will you accept the offer of the lifeline that is thrown out to you? Will you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Nevertheless, I want to look at the subject, the love of God. The love of God. And the first thing I want you to notice concerning the love of God in this very famous text is the love of God for the sinner. Number one, the love of God for the sinner. Look at the verse 16 with me again, chapter 3. "For God so loved the world." For God so loved the world. Now here we see God's love, true love, God's love for a world full to the brim of sinners. And we note that Jesus died for the sinner out of love. Now you may ask, well, who is the sinner? The scriptures are very clear on that point. In Romans chapter 3 and the verse 23, we read, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every single one of us in this gathering, every single one in earshot of the gospel, have sinned against a holy God. And nobody is without sin but Christ. That's why He is the only one that could take our place and pay the price for our sin. You see, beloved, we've fallen short of God's standards. We've all broken God's law. And because of our rebellion, because of our law breaking, the scriptures tell us time and time again, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That's our condition. That's the state that we are in. That's our plight. See, beloved, we're sinners. We're wretched. We're guilty. And our sin has to be punished before a holy God. Romans 6 verse 23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death." Now that's serious. For the wages of sin is death, but... The verse goes on and the verse gives us good news. It says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Listen, beloved, I don't want to make this complicated today. We have sinned against a holy God. We have offended a holy God. And our sin is condemned by a holy God. And the punishment for that sin is hell for all of eternity. That's the peril and the condemnation that we deserve. But for those words, wonderful words, "For God so loved the world." God loves the sinner, even though our sin makes us really completely unlovable. There is nothing lovable about us. God had every right, as soon as we sinned, to cut us off and cast us into damnation and destruction forevermore, but instead He chose to love us. Now, does that not thrill your soul, my friend? To realize the love of God, that His love was so great, His love was so immense, that He sent His only Son to die for us. Now that is true love. And I ask you, will you repent today? Will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? And then you can truly sing, "Love lifted me, love lifted me, when no one but Christ could help. Love lifted me." But secondly, I want you to notice with me, please, the love of God made a sacrifice. Now, we know the love of God for the sinner, but number two, the love of God made a sacrifice. Look at the verse 16 with me again, please. We read there, "For God so loved the world that He gave." What did He give? That He gave His only begotten Son. And here we read of a sacrifice. Here we read that God's love provided a way for our sins to be forgiven. You see, my friends, our sin is serious. Our sin is more serious than we can ever know. And our sin had to be paid for. Somebody had to take our place. A price for sin had to be paid. And the scriptures tell us who His own self, talking of Christ, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. You see, beloved, God the Father gave Jesus Christ, gave the only begotten Son to die for you and for me. Christ was sinless, but He still took our place. He suffered and He died as a sacrifice for His people. And when we think how they beat Him, when we think how they whipped Him and scourged Him, until His back was opened up like a plowed field, how they punched Him and they spat upon Him, and then they rammed upon His beautiful head this crown of thorns until the blood ran down His face. When we think then how they put a cross upon His back and they made Him drag it till He could carry it no longer. And then as they got up to Golgotha's hill, then they nailed Him to it. They nailed the altogether lovely Son of God to a Roman cross. You think about that. Straight through His hands, straight through His feet, He was nailed. And then they would have lifted that cross up higher and higher and higher into the air. And then they would have forced it into a hole in the ground. Can you imagine the jodder as the gravity would have tried to pull him down, yet the nails kept him up. And those nails ripped through his flesh and further blood was shed. Can you imagine the suffering Christ went through on our behalf? And then we read that all went dark. Then we read of God the Father pouring out all of his wrath for all of Christ's people's sins upon his very soul. And he could do nothing else but cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Listen, beloved, I want to make something clear today. It was our sin that nailed him there. It was our sin that put Christ on that tree, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know, the famous preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said, did he lay down his life for us? Ah, then, beloved, how great must have been his love. How great must have been his love. But then thirdly and lastly, I want you to note from the verse, the love of God provided the Savior. Now we note the sinner and the sacrifice, now the Savior. The love of God provided the Savior. Look at the verse 16 of John 3 with me again, please. We read there, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now look at these words. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if Jesus Christ is Savior, which he is, being no doubt whatsoever he is, then what's he saving the sinner from by dying upon the cross? Well, the verse 16's clear. Look what it says. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at those three words. Should not perish. There's a hell to shun, my friends. There's a hell to shun. God is a just and righteous God. He is a king that cannot allow sin and filthiness into his kingdom. So sin either has to be punished in hell or it has to be forgiven and washed away with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may say, but preacher, how do I get my sins forgiven? How do I find favor in the eyes of God? How do I get right with this holy and just God? Look at the verse 16 again. That whosoever believeth in him. All you have to do, beloved, is repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's really very simple, but it's vitally important. And if you come to Christ today, then you can be assured that you'll have everlasting life in heaven. You'll be saved from eternal damnation in hell. You can be the whosoever spoken about in that verse, that whosoever believeth in him. That can be you. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know, there are people out there after hearing this wonderful, wonderful message, they continue on with their lives, oblivious, without hope, still concerned about the afterlife. Listen, my friend, I implore you, don't be a fool. Come to Christ today. Be saved today. Have your sins forgiven by trusting the Savior. And don't leave it till tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. You don't know where the next breath is coming from. Every single breath is borrowed from the Lord. We don't know what a day may bring forth. Don't leave it till tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. We read in the scriptures, 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I ask you, beloved, don't try and wait till another day. Don't wait till the finances are better. Don't wait maybe till sickness strikes or poverty strikes or any disaster strikes to get right with God. Get right with God now. Don't wait till the deathbed. Don't wait till a more convenient season. Get right with God now as you hear the Word of God preached. You know, the hymn writer sums up this gospel message so beautifully. When he says, God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall, Salvation full, at highest cost, he offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Saviour from above to die on Calvary. The love of God. What wondrous love it is, beloved. And I would ask you, if you forget about everything I've said today, if you forget the points, forget the thrust of the message, you leave not remembering the sermon, but you leave remembering one thing burnt upon your heart. I pray that you'll remember this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts for his own name's sake. Let's bow in a word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we come before thee and we thank thee for the gospel message. We praise thee that Christ left the glories of heaven. We thank thee that he lived that perfect life. And most of all, we praise thee that he died that atoning death. And, O God, we ask today, if there's somebody listening to this gospel message and they don't yet know the Savior, they haven't yet repented and believed the gospel, O Father, we pray that thou wilt show them, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But, Father, undertake for us now. Glorify thine own name. We ask all these things in the Saviour's worthy and most precious name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.